Hello, Emma.
I'm interviewing you on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and
okay.
My mother.
Okay.
It's the 21st of September 2009 at 16 minutes past 6 a.m.
Yeah, very early.
Please ask you for your full name, date of birth, and where you come from.
Okay, my full name is Danielle Jane Thorne. My date of birth is 19th of August 1979, and I was born in London, and I still live in London today.
How do you feel now, Danielle?
At this moment, not too nervous, but my sensei, my Japanese teacher, is going to come. So this is like a dedication for her because I've been studying Japanese since November last year. So yeah, coming on for nearly a year. And I was a bit surprised to be picked for the project. I saw it on TV and I thought, oh, I'll just apply, never thinking that I'd get anywhere. And then I got like the email on the 1st of August. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I thought, what like really means a lot to me in my life at this point in time? And I thought, well, it would be different to dress in, you know, traditional like Japanese yukata, even though it's winter and these are meant to be worn from like April to August time when it's hot temperature. I don't have a kimono, unfortunately, so my sensei lent this to me, and I'll just be doing like some very basic Japanese phrases, nothing too heavy, because no one's going to want to listen to me ramble on in a foreign language that they don't really know what I'm going to be talking about. And then halfway through my hour, I'm going to do some little bits of origami to like little butterflies, little boxes and a crane, and throw them to people if they're interested.
How did you get involved in Japanese culture?
I've always been fascinated with like Japan. I mean, I remember like when I was about 6 buying my very first Hello Kitty item, and I've sort of been a big collector of Hello Kitty since then. I'm like 30 now. I like a lot of their history as well, like the samurai and the Edo period and their clothing and their music and their way of life. I started learning Japanese briefly when I was about 17 at like a community college, but there was too many students in the class, so I sort of dropped out. And then I became a mother when I was 19. My boy's nearly, well, 11 now, and now was like the best time for me to start learning. And I'm like, I have to pay for my tuition, but it's a lot nicer because it's like a small, there's only about 3 of us in the class, so it's like an intimate sort of thing, and I think you learn better like that. And I hope one day to move to Japan at some point, but not quite yet, maybe in a few years' time. So
what is it about Hello Kitty?
Oh, I don't know. She's just so cute, and I don't know, there's just something that appeals to me about her. Like I said, I've been collecting for 24 years now, so I have quite a lot of Hello Kitty items.
For someone that might never have heard of that, what is Hello Kitty?
Hello Kitty is a white cat with a ribbon on her left ear. I tried to think as I'm looking at the picture. She has no mouth. She's supposed to be English, even though she originates in Japan. She's like a small little white cat. And she's actually, if you Google her as well, she's actually the... I believe she's UNICEF's child ambassador as well. And then she's also Japan's biggest grossing character to date.
How are you finding it, learning the language?
Well, at first, like learning basic phrases is quite easy. But as you start to get more into how like sentences are structured, it's starting to get a bit trickier now. But I think, you know, if I persevere with it, it'll be well worth it in the end. And also, Japan is the only place that has 3 types of writing system. They have one called hiragana, katakana, and the kanji, which is the kanjis for like Chinese type of characters. They have 20,000 in total, 958 common everyday characters. So quite a lot to take in.
You mentioned a sensei. What's that?
A sensei is a Japanese word for teacher. This can be any form of teacher, whether it is a school teacher, someone who teaches martial arts. it's just like my sense, like a sensei is someone of teaching standards.
And who is your sensei?
Oh, my sensei is a lovely woman. She's a professional opera singer as well. Her name is Saori Nakazawa, and she comes from a little town just in Hiroshima there. She's been in this country now for 15 years, but I don't know her age. That's a bit rude to ask her. So. I grew up in East London, where I still live today. I live in London Borough of Hackney, and I just live in Homerton, which is like the area of Hackney. I've lived pretty much in the same house since I was five, so I've been living in the same house for near enough 25 years. I've moved out like for a couple of months here and there, but yeah, pretty much still living in the same place. I live with my boyfriend Toby. He's here today supporting me, and my 10-year-old son Brandon.
Tell me a little bit about your son.
My son wants to be a marine biologist. He's top of his class at the moment. Looks a bit like Harry Potter, got glasses and everything, and he's just about to go off today, actually. He's going to watch me on the webcam from his grandfather's house. He's off going for 2 days to adventure a week or something, doing kayaking and rock climbing and things like that.
So what's it like commenting as an area?
Sorry?
What's commenting like as an
area? It's like any area. Like, it's pretty quiet, but you also have some areas which have like estates and things with some gangs. It's not as bad as it used to be. It used to be very bad at one time with knife crime, but now it's pretty much a nice place to live, and it's because it's right near to the Olympic Park for 2012. It's really like up and coming now, so there's a lot being done in the area.
What impact do you think the Olympics will have on the area?
At the moment, it's I don't like it because there's so much building, everywhere's pretty dusty. But they're doing lots of improvements, like building new houses. So in a way, it's going to be good. It's going to create lots more jobs in the area, because like the East London, like where the area was being built, was pretty run down with lots of like, you know, homeless like squats and things. But they've really knocked that down now, and it's going to be like quite a nice place. However, at the moment, it's a bit hectic with like delivery vans coming, and it's a bit dusty. So. Not anymore, unfortunately. I'm dedicating my time to my studies, because I want to use my studies actually to get a job. I want to work in translation, maybe in this country for a while, before I can move to Japan. So I'm basically my full-time study now.
And what about your partner? Where did you meet him?
I actually met him outside of a nightclub on the... Well, a McDonald's actually, right next to a nightclub in Brixton, called The Fridge. And he was sort of a mutual friend of friends, but I'd never actually like been introduced to him. And I actually noticed he had the same pair of trainers as I did. And these trainers were pretty rare. And I just said to him as he was crossing the road, and he was drunk at the time, I said, "Oh, nice trainers." And I got into the club, and we used like an internet forum, you know, like a message board. And he sort of recognised me from the big tattoo on my back, because I have a huge back piece of Japanese koi carp and traditional imagery like that. And he recognised me from a photo, and he just introduced himself. He was a bit drunk. And the next day he messaged me, sent me like a little private message, say, "Oh, I'm really sorry if, you know, I was really stupid. And, oh... I'm very sorry." And I says, "Oh, no problems, but, you know, shall we just meet up for a little drink and have a chat?" And it sort of went from there, really.
How long ago was that?
That was that would have been December 2004, and we've sort of been seeing each other since April 2005, so we've been together 4 years.
What's home life like at the moment?
Good. I can't wish for anything better. Yeah, he's very easy to live with. He's a very easygoing, like laid back, passive person. I'm quite of a loud, aggressive, like personality. So we complement each other quite well.
What kind of things do you like to do together?
Well, we like going to the cinema a lot. I'm into video games, even though he's not. I've got like a PS3 and an Xbox 360, and I suppose by the time someone listens to this, that they would have been obsolete for a very long time. But other things, what do you like doing together, really? Or like going on holiday? At the moment, we're not doing much because we're saving to go for a big holiday in Japan next year, and it's very expensive for three of us to go for flights because we want to go for 3 weeks. So at the moment, life is pretty quiet, just being housewifely and that really, and me just doing my studies. Yes, he does. He works for a company which helps disabled people with transportation, like disabled people having a disability living allowance, and they can use that towards getting modified cars for their disability needs so that they can get out and about and lead a normal life. He works like in the call centre there with the aftercare of their cars and sorting out problems if they have any problems with their cars.
What kind of relationship does he have with your son?
Oh, they have a really great relationship, because I know like sometimes when, because he is not the father of my child, it's sometimes difficult for children to accept someone new, but he's been really good with him, and he's they get on really well together.
What's your son's character like?
Oh, he's very quiet. He's nothing like me. I mean, he has his dad's temperament. He's very quiet, very laid back. He used to be quite shy, but he's getting a bit better now that he's getting ready for secondary school and things. But he's got, you know, proper scientist sort of views.
Aside from the Japanese, any other hobbies?
Other than collecting like loads of Hello Kitty things, collecting like video games, I really like those. I'm an avid tea drinker. I like collecting different types of teas from all over the world. And I like cats. I have 4 cats at the moment. But my boyfriend says I can't have any more because I'd be a hoarder otherwise. So, but other than that, no. I've got to be too careful not to have too many hobbies while I'm trying to save to go on holiday, so I try and keep my interests to a minimum. Oh, and I like comic books. I'm a comic book collector as well.
What places have you been on holiday to?
I've been to the USA, Florida about 3 times. I went 3 times last year. Where else have I been? I've been to Cyprus. I went to Cyprus on my own. I've been to Germany, I've been to Marseille, Belgium, Ibiza a few times, but never like somewhere long haul like New Zealand or Australia, never been there. So most of Europe and Florida really.
Looking towards the future, have you got any hopes or ambitions?
Yes, I hope to do well in my studies. I hope to become pretty fluent that I can move to Japan. I don't think that's going to happen for like 3 or 4 years because I have to wait till my son's at a reasonable age so he can make up his mind to transition to a secondary school in Japan while he can't speak Japanese. It would be pretty tough on him, so I want to wait till he's in his teens, maybe about 16, before he can make up his mind what he wants to do, whether stay with family here or move. I hopefully get a job, obviously, in some form of working in Japanese here in London to get more experience with the language, because the more you're around it, the more you become more confident with it.
What is it about the Japanese culture that you like?
I just think because they've got such a rich history that goes back like many thousands of years, and you know they're just such an interesting people. They're apparently one of the friendliest people in the world. And I don't know, I've just been doing so much research on Japan that it's just sort of really stuck with me. My dad really liked Japan as well and was very interested when I was a little girl in it, even though he's not done Japanese lessons or visited Japan. It's just sort of like a place that's really like, sort of always, I've always thought of it as home, even though I've never been. If you know what I mean. So I'm sure when I get there, I may either hate it or I'll truly love it, and I'm really hoping it's the latter.
Coming back to the plinth, is there anything that you'd like to gain from your hour up there?
Well, I really hope, because I have a little banner for my language school, and I really hope that maybe people that have thought about maybe learning another language, or, you know, maybe thinking, oh, you know, it may be a little bit too difficult, and, you know, sometimes if one person just signs up by picking up one of our brochures or something, and, you know, it makes them really interested in, like, maybe not learning Japanese. My school does other languages like Arabic, Chinese, all different languages, that, you know, it might help them to get the confidence that I've got out of doing just a year's worth of language. And, you know, you meet other people that you might not necessarily meet in everyday life when you go to a class. It will enrich their lives somehow.
What about people on the ground? What do you think they might think looking
at? Oh, they'll probably think I'm some nutter. Teaching them some basic Japanese, that they might think, oh, you know, I'm never really going to, you know, learn this. But, you know, I'm just up there for my hour. You know, people are free to think of me whatever they want. I'm not particularly too worried. Like, I have enough confidence to, like, think, well, you know, they may think I'm an absolute loon or complete weirdo, or they might think it's very interesting and, you know, maybe decide for themselves if they want to learn. So my sensei and some other people from my school be here as well. So I'm just hoping I don't, like, go up there and I'm just, like, going to be like, oh. I'm going to play some traditional Japanese music as well, koto music, which is like, it's hard to describe. It's like a little banjo or a sitar type, but it's their own form of it. It's going to be played very gently in the background while I talk and do my origami. I just really would like to thank Anthony Gormley. I don't know if it's him personally who picks the people to go on the plinth, but I really, because I've been to a couple of his works before. I saw the, I can't remember what they were called, the people that they put on the buildings, and the one that was on the beach. And obviously I know him from, like, the Angel of the North. And I also went to see his Blind Light exhibition, the one with the, you know, the fog in the box. And that was quite interesting. I really enjoyed that one. So I would just really like to thank him for this great opportunity, because I know that there have been something like 34,000 applicants or something, and I know there's only 2,400 allowed to go. So I just really like to thank him for this great opportunity that I've been allowed to have.
Do you follow the art world in general?
I've never really been a big art person per se, but if I see something that's advertised which I think's might appeal to me, like, very interesting. Like, there was one recently called Walking Through My Mind that I really wanted to go to at the Hayward Gallery, but I didn't have time and I missed it by a day. So if it's something very unusual and out of the norm, then I'm generally drawn to it. But things like the paint galleries and things, like, it's not something that would appeal to me. So this one's very different, so it appealed to me. I like different things.
What is it about Anthony's work that you've seen
several of his? Well, they're just very different. They're very out of the norm. They're not, like, just box standard sculptures. They're sort of very different, and there's something for everyone there. You know, like, the people on the buildings I found very intriguing, and also the blind light I thought was very, very good. I mean, it was this very disorientating when you go in there, which is obviously the whole point of it. And it was just a great thing, because you don't see that very often in London. That was what attracted me to his works.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
What, be a public? No, not like this, no. No, I don't think so, no. I've been on TV and I was younger. I was on Animal Hospital with Rolf Harris. Even though Rolf Harris wasn't there, I was on it. Oh, God knows how old I was. I was maybe 12 or 13. I was a big collector of exotic animals at the time. I was collecting chameleons at the time, and one of them had a bad eye, and we just wanted to go and check to make sure it wasn't going to lose its eye. And we didn't think that they were going to be filming on that day. And I was like, yes, we want to film you. So, and I've been in the audience for a couple of TV shows, but never been, like, publicly, it's just me. So, oh no, tell a lie, I was interviewed, I went to a Japanese festival for the Omatsuri Japanese Festival that was at Spitalfields on Saturday, the 19th of September, and the Japanese TV show actually interviewed me while I was walking along. I was like, oh no, I wasn't prepared for it as well. And they was just, again, asking me what I think of Japan and Japanese culture and why I was learning Japanese and what I thought of the festival, because it was the first year that they was actually doing it. So.
What was the festival like?
The festival was actually really good. Oh, it was so busy though. It was so busy. I mean, I got there at 4 o'clock and it started at 10, and I stayed there for 2 hours, but it was just very, very busy. There was traditional Japanese dancing, making like little water bombs for children, traditional Japanese food, Japanese alcohol, sake they were serving there, and some stalls to buy like yukata, like what I'm wearing at the moment, and kimono, and just advertising Japan in general. So it's really, really good.
What other exotic animals did you have?
Oh god, now that's a question. I had at one time, I think I had 8 species, different species of chameleons. I had 3 snakes. I've had a gecko, I've had a pure white gecko. What else have I had? I've had Japanese koi carp. I've had rats and mice, but they're not very exotic. I've had dogs, and I've got cats. So my house at one time was pretty much like a zoo.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.